Welcome to a new episode of the Entrepreneurship Podcast with me, Ella Hallgren. In this episode, you'll get to know Marcus Bustamante and learn more about his company that he started with his friend back home in Canada. Marcus is a fourth-year finance student at the University of Alberta in Canada who at the university met Cameron. They became friends and decided to start a business together, which turned out to be the Frosted Shaved Ice Company. They spread happiness and joy among people and children by selling shaved ice and snow cones during all summer long. Marcus is now doing an exchange year in Sweden here at Uppsala University. Welcome, Marcus. Thank you for coming all the way to Sweden for this interview. How are you feeling today?
I'm doing quite well. Ella, yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Good to hear.
All right. So we'll start with five quick questions. So are you ready?
I'm ready. Shoot away.
Okay, nice. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Nice. How old are you?
22.
Mm-hmm. Where are you from?
So Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. It's in far western Canada, kind of in the middle of nowhere.
All right. one thing you can't live without?
Ooh, I'd say cheese. I really love cheese.
Nice. What are your biggest interests?
I really enjoy going to the gym. I love traveling. And then photography is also another interest of mine.
Mm, nice. All right, that was it for the five quick questions. And now we'll move on to three words. So describe yourself with three words.
For sure, yeah. I would say I'm very outgoing. I'm very driven. And in general, just I'm very hardworking, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Nice. All right, we'll move on to a more deeper introduction. So tell me more about yourself and your company.
Yeah. So, Frosted Shaved Ice, it started out of nothing. I'm just a university student, doing my last year. And this is during COVID that me and my business partner, Cameron, decided to make this company. So we actually didn't even know that we were both interested in entrepreneurship. And then we ended up meeting each other just by happenstance at the Entrepreneurship Club. And so from that, we're like, hey, let's start a business. It's COVID. Everyone's doing nothing. We can't go outside. So we had Zoom calls, weeks on end. And then we had to, really finalize, from our idea what we wanted to do as a business. We know we wanted to do food, like a food truck. But then we actually ended up doing a food cart specifically, and then specifically doing snow cones. So it was definitely a big journey of progressing from doing, an idea to actually building the cart ourselves, developing it, and then actually having employees and actually, working with a bunch of big companies now, as well as catering a lot of private events too. So it's definitely been a journey for sure.
Nice. It sounds like a good way to spend your time during COVID.
It was. Well, a lot of work was done during COVID, and it was, very, very, boring work, unpaid, because you never know if it'll pay off. But then when COVID eased up, we actually got busy making money, and it was it's a fun time. So
yeah, maybe like after COVID there are more people like going outside and want to spend time together, and they want to buy snow cones.
Oh, exactly. It was the absolute worst possible time to start like a food business is during COVID. Yeah, so bad timing, but it all worked out in the end. So
yeah, that sounds great. When did you decide to start your own company?
Yeah, so it would be, late 2020, early 2021. Mm-hmm. And really, yeah, just like I said, during the lockdown, we had nothing else to do. So we basically had to come up with the idea. We built the cart ourselves. And I'll get more into that later about how we built the cart and what kind of things that involved. Because it's definitely very, very startup-esque, I would say, for sure.
Yeah. Like, how did you come up with the idea? What was the thought process?
For sure, yeah. So, originally, we thought, hey, let's do a food truck. We see them everywhere. Why can't we do it? And it's a lot cheaper to start in terms of cost, right? Like, anyone could buy a food truck, and then make food. Like, it's not a complicated idea. Anyone can learn how to do it. But getting behind it, we're like, okay, let's do a food truck. Let's do hamburgers because, everyone likes hamburgers. Why not? And then, thinking more about it, We looked into the actual cost. We did a cost analysis of the different things we could do with the food truck. And so really the big cost comes down to the legal requirements from the government of Canada, government of Alberta. Mm-hmm. So example, with a food truck, if you're frying anything in a deep fryer or with the stove, you need what's called a fume hood, but also you need a fire suppression system. Mm. So basically it's like, you know, for safety reasons and things like that, which is, yeah, you know, fair enough. But the problem is these costs for the whole truck, you know, it'll bring the truck up to, you know, $50,000, $100,000 Canadian. So all of a sudden it's going from, you know, a lot cheaper, you know, idea to, you know, $100,000, you know, to invest. And, you know, we didn't really want to do that to take, you know, the big risk. So we're like, okay, we're not doing a food truck. Okay, what about a food trailer? Because a trailer, you can tow it, you know, and it's slightly cheaper. So a food truck, you can, you know, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000, even more Canadian. But a food trailer can be anywhere, you know, $10,000, $20,000 to $30,000. So a lot cheaper. So we're like, okay, this is doable. So we look on, you know, like Facebook Marketplace, Kijiji Marketplace back in Canada to see if we could buy like a rundown garbage food trailer and then fix it up. But, you know, we found a couple. But they didn't really meet our requirements. So we're like, okay, what if we build our own trailer? Mm. And then again, like the price would have been like $15,000 to $20,000 Canadian. Yeah. So we're like, okay, what about a cart? You know, carts. So we go looking for carts, like to buy commercial carts. It doesn't exist. You cannot buy a commercial snow cone cart. you can buy like hot dog carts. I don't know how common those are here in Sweden or Europe.
Well, there are some.
There's some, yeah. So that's kind of where we went from, you know, hamburgers, and then, you know, thinking more, we're like, okay, what if we do hot dogs? That's, you know, more doable. And then from hot dogs, we went from, okay, this is also very competitive as well, because, you know, hot dogs, hamburgers, yeah, are very similar. So we're like, we need to get a better niche. So we think about ice cream, you know, like, but specifically it's called Italian gelato. So it's like specifically like Italian style ice cream. Mm-hmm. It's very good, very fresh. But we quickly realized too, you know, you can get ice cream, you know, anywhere. It's nothing special.
Yeah.
So then we got snow cones. Okay. You know, like in Edmonton where I live, no one else has snow cones. We did more market research. You can't really get them anywhere. Like the whole city is a million people. We only have about one of the competitor. Mm. It is the same exact thing that we do. And that's it. And they're, you know, a big franchise.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of freedom in what we can do with our product too, that they really don't. Mm. So that was like the big thing is we found, you know, our niche and we brought it from, you know, an idea. And it's really just by doing. Like we would have never knew to do snow cones unless we said, okay, let's start this. And, you know, let's go, you know, day one. Find out, let's just do a business. You just got to do it. Entrepreneurship's one thing. You just need to do it to figure it out, really.
Yeah, well, that's great because sometimes you just know that you want to do something. Then you'll figure out what that is during, like, the journey to get there.
I'd say that's probably most of it, honestly. It's.
But did you eat a lot of snow cones before?
Well, that's another thing, too. So my business partner, Cameron, he actually went to Hawaii. So in Hawaii, they have something called shaved ice. It's Hawaiian shaved ice.
Okay.
It's like a very traditional thing. They've been doing it a long time there. And it's a little different, but they take huge ice blocks and they shave them up very finely with, like, you know, basically a specialized machine. And they'll sell them to tourists for like $7. So like, you know, $6, $7, $8 euros even. But they're huge. So we're thinking about doing that, but it is quite similar, but, you know, a little different.
Yeah. But do you like snow cones?
Oh, no.
Do you like shade ice?
They're delicious. They're simple, easy to make. It's really good on a hot day. And that's the other issue. Like, that's other thing we found out with the business, too. We can only really sell it for 3 months, maybe 4 months in the summer. And that's about it. So that's the biggest downside I see of, like, a seasonal business.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the next question, which is, what's your biggest motivation?
Biggest motivation? Well, I would say really it was to really make an impact. But also, you know, making money is also fun. It's also just a lot of problem solving, honestly. It's very different mindset of working for yourself and working for customers compared to just working at a company. You just think entirely differently. And I think that was really interesting to me. And it's really about freedom. Like, at the end of the day, that's how I see it. And to really make your own money.
Being your own boss.
Yeah, but really to really control your own schedule is just insane. Like, that's really, really high priority for me.
Mm. And because I saw you have a website, and I think it's very cool. It's did you have it like from the start, and who made it?
Yeah, so with the website, that's the second version of the website, actually.
Okay.
So the first version we made during COVID, I made it myself mostly, and it was like not that good. it worked, you know. It wasn't amazing, but it worked. You know, it did the job, and then. Luckily, I met someone through my fraternity that was actually a marketing consultant. Mm-hmm. So we actually helped us redesign the website for very, very cheap. So nice. That was very nice of him. I didn't make it, but my buddy Jason did.
All right. Yeah, I think it looks very good.
Thank you.
All right. Let's move on to the first segment, which is technology-based entrepreneurship. Yeah, so when trying to find a good definition of entrepreneurship, I realized there exist many different definitions. And according to Kathleen R. Allen, it's a way of thinking that usually is opportunity-focused, risk-taking, innovative, and growth-oriented. However, she mentions that entrepreneurship is still commonly thought of in the context of starting a business. And according to Mark J. Dollinger, there are a few elements and characteristics that are common in definitions of entrepreneurship. And these are the following. First, it's creativity and innovation. And then it's resource identification, acquisition, and marshalling. And then it's economic organization. And the last one is opportunity for gain or increase under risk and uncertainty. Which of these characteristics do you think defines entrepreneurship the most?
I would say creativity and innovation mm-hmm. are definitely hugely involved, very important. You do need an idea, and you do need to really implement it. It's more about action. But to really be innovative, you always have to be taking something old, improving it, making it more efficient, making it better. And a lot of the times, you know, you're making a better mousetrap, you know, but it does really come down to economic organization. If you don't actually do it, if you don't actually put the land, labor, and capital, you know, to work, mm-hmm. you won't have a business. So I would argue both of them are essential. Really.
Yeah. What is an entrepreneur according to you?
An entrepreneur is really someone that really just services a market. And they, you know, there's a lot of different markets you can service, a lot of different ways you can service it. There's no one way to be an entrepreneur. You could, you know, own a corner store, you know, and be an entrepreneur at a kiosk. Like, it's not hard, you know. It's very hard. But it's really just someone who works for themselves, and really they really control their own destiny. That's what I see an entrepreneur as.
Yeah, okay. So you seem like you're very interested in entrepreneurship and all of that. How much did you know about entrepreneurship before you started your first own business?
I know a little bit. I took a couple general business courses at the University of Alberta, which they make you take to get your Bachelor's of Commerce. So a little bit, you know. Mm. But really, entrepreneurship's the one thing you can't learn in class. It's you have to do it. If you don't do it, you know, you're not going to be a very good entrepreneur. Like a good example is, you know, learning how to do your taxes or how to, you know, make a corporation, how to structure a corporation. They'll tell you in class, do this, do this, do this. But until you actually do it, you have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've been running your company for a few years now, right?
Yeah.
Since, what
late,
year did you start?
Late 2020.
Yeah, okay. And is there anyone else working for your company right now, or how many people?
Yeah, so it's me and my business partner. We're 50-50 partners.
Yeah.
And then we have two part-time flex-time employees.
Okay.
So it really depends on our business demands that we hire them. You know, a lot of times, you know, so example, we have a cart. It's usually 2 to 3 people to operate it, depending on the event. You know, some events, so example, at the University of Alberta, we actually, they hired us there for their week of welcome. It's like a big welcome festival at the, you know, the first week. And, you know, we served what? End of the day, we took home, you know, right around $6,000 to $7,000 profit in about 2 days. So we served, you know, just under 2,000 snow cones. So for that, we did have to hire some people. But it really just depends the event. You know, on the weekends, sometimes we'll just do it ourselves because then it saves us on, you know, some labor costs. But otherwise, we just hire people.
Yeah, okay. Nice. So was that your biggest event that you did?
Yeah, that was our biggest event. Yeah, so, you know, we have a big range with our events. Our more corporate events, you know, they'll pay, you know, that high. Other events, you know, we'll get, you know, $100 an hour. So there's a big range.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right. So the next question is, what would you say to someone who's thinking about starting their own company? Do you have any good tips?
Yeah, really is to do it. It's painful and expect to fail. Cause, when we first started, so just to give you an idea, we built our cart. We worked probably a couple hundred hours building the cart, not even knowing if it would pay off. Our initial investment was about $7,000 to $8,000. So we're just spending that, you know, no return, you know, very, very risky, you know, $7,000 to $8,000, whatever. But, you know, to spend it and, you know, not expecting anything. And then we do our first couple events. They went terribly. like I cut my finger.
Ouch.
And I had to, so, and like, so we had like a kid's birthday party that we got from a friend of a friend. They had their kid's birthday. It was like only 20, 30 kids. Our machine broke. We had to use like a backup machine that we had that was really not that quick. Either way, so it's, you know, so now we're on our third machine now. So, you know, like expect to fail.
Yeah.
It's not easy. And it's really just trial and error. And like we would not know to use the machine that we use now. You know, we thought the first one was fine. The first one is not fine. So it's all about getting better and learning from your mistakes, really. And there's no way to, you know, you can't just go 0 to 100. You'll probably go 0. You'll probably get 10% of it correct. The other 90% you'll get wrong. And you just have to get better and better, you know, every week, every day, every year.
Yeah. So basically learn by failing.
You have to learn by failing. Yeah. And it's even, I'll just go one step further. It's even worse. Elon Musk has a really good quote with, you know, business. It's like crawling through glass. it's all just painful because you're literally doing everything with the business. You know, you're the you're doing marketing, you're doing finance, you're doing HR. Yeah. You're the entire company. So you're also dealing with the worst of the company. You're dealing with all the complaints. You know, so it's you have to really want to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah. And do you feel like it's still painful, or did you come out on the other side?
I think you can't really come out on the other side. You can get less painful, but then again, it just gets your problems get bigger. So instead of you know you had a birthday party, you know the parents unhappy, you know because of XYZ.
Yeah.
Now you're at a corporate event and someone's unhappy because XYZ. Okay, so it's you know, and it's not all bad. You know, sometimes you have an event and it goes flawlessly, but other times, you know, issues happen. It can get stressful. You know, so we have a generator example. You know, your generator runs out of gas. You're like, what do I do now? So, you know, stuff. No one's gonna tell you that in school. Like, you just have to do it and learn by experience, really.
Well, they do tell you at school.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't listen. You're like, it's gonna be fine.
Yeah, no. Always bring extra gas for your company generator. Yeah, I know that one now, though. So.
Yeah. All right. So. Yeah, as you mentioned, you've been through a bit of, like, a few setbacks. Are there any other setbacks that you've had since you started the company?
Yeah, so a big story. So the first big party we went to was this kid's birthday party. It was, like, about 100 kids. So a pretty big party. And it was a heat wave. So, you know, plus 35 Celsius. And we didn't know. Normally, in the past, we would just go to the store, buy bags of ice, and we shave it up in the ice shaver to make snow cones.
Yeah.
During the heat wave, it was all sold out everywhere. And it's, you know, maybe 2 hours before this birthday party starts, and we need to buy, you know, probably 20 bags of ice. So we stop at like 15 to 20 stores to get this ice. Just nothing but stress. Mm. And eventually we go to this liquor store that's like some, you know, rundown liquor store that was kind of close by. And thank God, like, they just got ice in like an hour ago. We just bought them out.
Nice.
But yeah, you definitely... you know, setbacks like that. It's always about failing. You just learn.
Yeah, since then, you always have extra ice at home, right?
Exactly. Now we're getting smarter. I bought a freezer just to store ice in.
Yeah.
So you definitely learn. Perfect. You learn a lot.
Nice. So if you had to do it all over again, what would you do differently the second time around?
I definitely find the key market that we had earlier and to really ask ourselves who we're selling to. So like snow cones, a lot of kids like love snow cones, and that's what we thought.
Yeah.
So we would sell in a lot of public parks. We would just set up, would get a permit, sell in a public park. That was good. We'd make okay money. But where we actually made a lot of money is from corporate events, corporate, you know, picnics, corporate birthday parties, you know, University of Alberta, for example, but also even, you know, construction companies. Really, corporate events really pay a lot more, and it's a lot less hassle because, you know, they give you $1,000 to set up for a couple hours. You just hand out snow cones. Everyone's happy.
Yeah.
So really just defining your market is, I would say, the most important thing with the business. And to really know who your customer is.
Yeah. Did you do any market research before you started, or did you just, like, guess?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, the way we saw it, no one else was doing this.
Yeah.
You know, so that makes us, you know, somewhat special. So why not? We're going to try it out. And it's kind of hard, you know, you could do market research, but it's not the easiest when you're just, you know, it's snow cones.
Yeah.
Like, you know, go hand out free snow cones. Like, it's not the, it's again, one of those things you just do and you learn and you're like, okay, you know, 70% of our money is coming in from, you know, these companies. Let's focus on that compared to going to a public park.
Yeah.
And, you know, just, selling to kids.
All right, so we'll move on to the next segment, which is creativity and aesthetics. So, yeah, in my course, we've been talking a lot about creativity and aesthetics. And, yeah, there exists many different definitions on these topics. When it comes to creativity, I have chosen a definition that I feel like I can relate to a lot, which is... creativity is defined as the tendency to generate or recognize ideas, alternatives, or possibilities that may be useful in solving problems, communicating with others, and entertaining ourselves and others. And yeah, I feel like this definition includes the most important aspects of creativity. When it comes to defining aesthetics, I think I find it like most definitions align more with each other. And that's like aesthetic is more about the perception of something. It can be the appearance, but it doesn't have to be beautiful appearance. It can be different categories like grotesque or ugly or graceful. Yeah. So what does creativity mean to you? Is there a definition of creativity that you like?
Yeah, so really... at the core of it, I see it's just doing something a different way. You know, another way I like to see it is you're creating something new from something old. You know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel with it necessarily, but it's really just you're getting the same results, but you just come do it a different way. The way it could be, you know, more efficient or it could be a lot less efficient, you know, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, just doing the same thing. Sorry, it's getting the same results, just a different way to achieve that result.
Yeah. All right. And how important do you think creativity is when it comes to creating business ideas and working in a startup company?
Oh, it's very. You definitely need to get creative with a lot of your product and a lot of your designs. But so back to our cart, one thing that we really got creative with, so the cost of wood, our cart, a lot of it's made out of wood because we wanted that old school kind of style.
Yeah.
And wood tripled at this time during COVID. So what we did is we got pallet wood from old pallets. We chopped them up, sanded them down, and used them as paletting for our cart. And we get compliments all the time from people. Oh, your cart's so nice and so lovely. And we took something really old and scrappy, and, you know, people would just throw it away, it would break. And we, you know, polished up, we sanded it, shellacked it, made it look really, really nice and professional. So you don't have to get crazy with it. And, you know, at the end of the day, it saved us a lot of money, too, because you don't have to go out and buy, you know, brand new expensive wood.
Yeah.
So just things like that. Another thing is, too, we have handles on our cart to move it. So my business partner, Cameron, he actually used to work in construction doing demolition. And he got these handles. So, you know, in like bathrooms have like,
yeah,
like they have like handles for like old people,
yeah,
when, to not fall down in the shower. Mm-hmm. So we actually took those from like a I think it was a hospital that he was helping demo. And we just used those. We added to the cart and it looks perfect. But, you know, no one's going to realize, like,
nice.
Oh, these, you know, mobility handles are, you know, for this purpose. So, you know, and it costs us, you know, a couple dollars. So,
yeah, that was really smart.
So things like that. It's really just, you know, getting the same results, but at a fraction of the cost.
Yeah, nice. And a bit about like aesthetics. How important is that to you?
Oh, it's extremely. I think not just to me, but even just to companies in general, if you're not presenting yourself officially and very well, you're not going to get customers. If you don't look legit as a food business, especially, you know,
yeah,
if your restaurant's not clean, don't expect a lot of customers. You know, it's very simple. So especially in the food business, especially, you need to, you know, not only look nice, but also have good branding, and that's with any business. So, because that's customers are the core of the business, really.
Yeah.
If you don't have customers, you don't have anything.
Yeah. So, how would you describe the aesthetics that you're trying to achieve?
I'd say in general we're very kid friendly, but also, mm-hmm, you know, we can go to a corporate event and not be too, you know, childish, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. The next question I've got is, what do you think is more important, creativity or aesthetics or both?
I would say both are very important. So yes, creativity is very good. It's very needed, you know, like I said, back with, you know, creating the carts, you have to get creative with some of your, you know, materials that you're using, for example.
Yeah,
but it has to look good. At the end of the day, you know, it's better to spend, you know, $100 more on, you know, getting a higher quality thing that looks good if it'll bring in, you know, $1,000 more, right? Mm-hmm. So that really, it goes back to marketing.
Yeah.
And every business really needs marketing. If you have no sales, you really have no business. You could have the best product in the world, but it doesn't matter if no one knows about it and you can't sell it. It really doesn't matter. So sales is very underrated, in my opinion. And that really goes back to aesthetics and how you present your company to the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's move on to the third segment, which is the last one. And it's about sustainable design. So there are different ways of viewing sustainable design. According to some guy named Jason F. McLennan in his book, it can be described as a philosophical approach to design that seeks to maximize the quality of the built environment while minimizing or eliminating the negative impact on the environment. However, another guy, David Bergman, writes in his book, that he finds it more helpful to think about sustainable design in terms of what we're trying to achieve. So how do you view sustainable design?
So in general, like, being wasteful is just not good for business. You know, a lot of times it'll be more costly, and it's not a good look either. So really, to be sustainable, it's very, very important in your business, especially long-term too. You know, because especially now, you know, 2022, people really care about sustainability to a high degree.
Yeah, so it's like how people view your company.
Yeah, well,
that's the important part.
Exactly, yeah. And it's not only your brand, but how you know, if you make a very similar product too, you need to set yourself apart from the competition another way too. So people are always going to pick the more sustainable company.
Yeah,
especially the products almost identical.
Mm. Yeah. So how do you work with the design in your company?
Yeah, so with design, so, you know, on my job, I'm more the financial aspect of the company. Mm-hmm. My business partner, Cameron, he deals a lot with the design, and then I, you know, kind of have my little bit of input there. So he really helped design a lot of the marketing material for the company. He runs the Instagram, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the website he did as well, with a lot of input, you know. I had to teach myself how to use Google Pages and, you know, Google websites,
yeah.
To set up your own business profile. It's called Google Business. So that was a big learning curve for me to kind of figure that out. And a lot of companies still, they're great companies, but their Google Pages are awful. So that's definitely a big, big role. It's a really important role too, because, you know, the first thing people do is, you know, they go Google, you know, snow cones Edmonton, or you know, whatever product you want, you know, it's the first thing people see, you know. So you need to know how to rank yourself as a company on Google, but also how it presents to the world is very, very important.
Yeah And also I saw you had this logo on your website for your company. How did you come up with the design of the logo? Maybe you can describe it to the people who are listening who can't see.
For sure, yeah. So basically, it is, it's like a polar bear. And imagine a polar bear with kind of a rainbow hairstyle. So we kind of figured this out, you know, frosty shaved ice. We're like, okay, what's what's kind of fun? You know, polar bear, okay, polar bears are kind of cold, sure. So it kind of matches our brand. And then, you know, we wanted to add, you know, okay, let's make it kid friendly. We add the colors to it.
Yeah.
And the kids just love that. So my friend Andre, he actually helped design the logo. He's I also met him through my fraternity, believe it or not. So he helped design it, you know. He did it all for free. Nice. super awesome guy. And we just gave him a little bit of input, but really it really makes a big impact, a logo, how you present yourself, because we'll just have a bunch of colors.
Yeah.
You know, and making it colorful and fun, you know, kids will just walk by us and they'll see, you know, a colorful, happy polar bear, you know, and they all of a sudden they want snow cones. So it's very, you know, you just got to keep things fun, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like when I was at your website, it was like all happiness, this polar bear everywhere, like colors.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, especially like, you know, especially things facing the general public, it doesn't have to be all serious, you know, you don't have to be all corporate, you know, you just got to be, you know, fun with it, really.
Yeah, but I think that also shows the aesthetic that you're talking about, like very kid-friendly.
Oh, no, for sure. Yeah, just very clean. Like, yeah. Just kid-friendly and clean, just in general.
Yeah, I totally agree. What was your approach when designing the car? I read on your website that you like draw with chalk on the ground.
Yeah, so it was really, really startup friendly, let's just say. So we built it in my friend's garage, pretty much. And this comes back to, you know, you have to kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
So we knew nothing about, you know, so Cameron knew about construction, mm-hmm. but I, you know, didn't have much experience with it, you know, just a little bit. But we had to Google our provincial laws regarding what's allowed. If, you know, you need, there's different food permits for what you're making.
Mm.
So it's like A, B, C, D, E. So if you're making like, you know, hamburgers or french fries, there's a higher standard than if you're making, you know, ice cream or shaved ice, or if you're just selling, you know, bottled cans of Coca-Cola.
Mm.
So there's a big range of what's legally required. So for our cart, we legally had to have a sink for cleaning. But we also had to design it so it'll fit our machine as well.
Yeah.
So really, it came down to figuring out how to fit all this stuff in this cart, and still make it cheap and affordable, and doing it within our budget. So we ended up, you know, learning how to plumb, and, you know, figuring this out. And it was so definitely a learning experience, trying to figure out, you know, all the plumbing and how to still make it look nice. So example, our top is like a stainless steel sheet that we had to buy, like a metal sheet. And then we found out like it'll, it's got, after you use it enough, it'll get scratched up. So we had to like put this laminate over it and all this other stuff. So it's definitely one thing you just have to learn. And that's, you know, but also keeping it within your budget. That's also why we had to get creative with a lot of what we did with the business.
Yeah. And how important is sustainable design in your work? You already talked a bit about this, but yeah.
Yeah, so like I said back, you know, to just reusing materials, not only is it, you know, it you can still keep things cheap and still make it look very good. Like they're not separate ideas.
Yeah.
So it is, you know, it's like it's good to reuse old materials and a lot of times actually cheaper and better. Mm. So there's... You know, there's definitely no reason not to, I would say.
Yeah, well, that was it for my questions. Is there anything you want to add?
Is there anything I want to add? Anything else you would like to know about Frosty Shaved Eyes? Let's start there.
I feel like I've learned a lot about your company now. I feel like I know everything. Almost.
Almost.
Any last words to the people who are listening?
Any last words? Yeah, entrepreneurship, you know, I think I love it. I think, you know, after I finish my degree, I'm probably going to sell this company. Yeah. But I would definitely want to start another one. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of those things you just have to do. It's, you know, you can't really learn it in school. You just have to do it and, you know, fail forward. You got to figure it out. That's really how I see entrepreneurship. And I think if you're interested in entrepreneurship, you know, go for it. But, you know, expect to fail many times and expect it to be very, very stressful.
Yeah.
And, you know, eventually you'll, you build up a tolerance to stress. Mm. And, you know, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
But thank you for having me on this podcast very much, Ella.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining me. And and I wish you the best with your company and future companies.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
And thank you to the people who have been listening. And that was it for this episode. Bye.